Send Christian greetings to each one this morning. It's a blessing to worship with you all. I've been blessed this morning in the service. Think of the sovereignty and the greatness of God. Now, why else would we be here if it wasn't for the greatness of God? I thank God for that, for his love, his care, his greatness. And like was said, we were supposed to be here in January, and then we had the snow, and oh, God has a reason for everything. We don't know why. This time it rained. Oh, maybe there'll be a flood, I thought, but I didn't get out of this one. But anyway, we're from Ohio, there where Michaela stayed. Not sure if we were a house or a motel or what to her at times, but we enjoyed having her at our house and getting to know her. The message this morning I have is on the youth. I didn't realize it was, just slipped me, Pentecost today when I prepared this message. So I guess God had other reasons for that. I have a dear place in my heart for the youth. And as the children were singing this morning, no, God's not dead. No, he is alive. These little children up here, they sang with enthusiasm. Like it was real in their heart. But then the older we get, you start moving back, and we had the rows where the youth are. And then you face this time of uncertainty. Where is God? Is God alive in your heart? Is he real to you? Or are you trying to figure life out on your own? Or how do you find God? Is God alive? Is he still there for you like he was when you were 3 and 5 and 10 years old? Or are you getting drawn away? I want to look a lot at the book of Daniel this morning. Someone that was committed. The title for the message is Committed with a Purpose. Daniel was committed with a purpose. He purposed his heart not to defile himself. He had purposed in his heart that I will not go there. I will not do that. So this morning, my encouragement to you is to have a purpose and be committed to God. Be committed to that God that is so big, so strong, and so mighty. Don't defile yourselves with the things of this world. Not to defile, we could look at resistance, to abstain. We use self-control. We use self-denial. It takes temperance, and we need to flee. So how do we get that in our life, or how do you attain that? No, it takes repentance. It takes courage. It takes boldness. It takes faith, prayer, confidence, steadfast, strength from God, and a personal relationship with God, and perseverance. Maybe not all in the exact order there, first which one comes first, but you get the picture. It takes a life of commitment to God, being dedicated and having a purpose, a changed life. The only way you're going to be able to stand and to be committed and not to defile yourself is to stand. So let's read Daniel chapter 1. I'll read a couple of verses here in Daniel 1, starting in verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God brought Daniel into favor with and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse likened than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endangered my head to the king. Then Daniel said to Melzer, whom the prince of the eunuch was set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, the countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat of the portion of the king's meat. Then Melzer took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. And as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and in dreams. I'm not here to preach a message this morning on vegetarian or something like that you got to get rid of meats and only do certain things, but I'm here encouraging you to become what God wants you, to be committed to God, regardless what you face. Now, Daniel had purpose in his heart. He is not going to defile himself. He had committed that long time ago. It starts at a young age, that commitment to not defile yourself. Daniel and his friends were taken from their homes in Judah. They were exiled. Their futures were in doubt. Now, they didn't know where they're going to go, what's going to happen, and why this. And then they faced this yet. You know, why did they have to face this? You know, they took advantage of the opportunity, but they didn't let the opportunity change who they were. They took the advantage of the opportunity God gave them here to stand for right and for truth and not to defile themselves. But they didn't let the opportunity change who they were. They could have easily took off with that meat and that drink and been all right. Hey, we're in a foreign land. Who else is going to know it? Mom and Dad aren't here. The preachers aren't here. Who's going to know it? What's wrong with doing that? But they had purpose in their heart. They're not going down that road. Now, Daniel's ultimate desire was to live his life without reproach from his God. He was more concerned about God than he was for man. He was determined to please God. Now, our first hint of Daniel's greatness comes in his quiet refusal to give up his convictions. Just food. We heard this morning, a lot of people are grilling this weekend. There's nothing wrong with grilling. But what about the amount we consume? Or all the extras? Daniel in his quiet, he just quietly refused. I'm not going there. You can do that, but I'm not. He was committed to God. He applied God's clearly revealed will on his own life. He knew what God had wanted for him. Do you know what God wants for you? Are you sure in your ways that this is what God wants? Are you committed? Do you know what God wants for you? Are you resisting the change that God is asking in your life? Are you resisting to go here if God is calling you here or to go there? No, I want what I want. No, we need a personal relationship with God if we're going to stand for truth and for right. Daniel ate carefully and lived prayerfully. Daniel ate carefully and lived prayerfully. How are you living today? My challenge I give you, how are you living? While Daniel was cautious about his food intake, he liberally indulged in prayer. He was able to commune with God because he had made it a habit to talk and listen to him every day. Now, Daniel put his relationship with God first, before food or anything else. He had purpose that God is coming number one. He was committed to God. He put his convictions into practice, even when it meant to be thrown into the den of lions. You know, he wasn't afraid. He was committed to God. He knew where his help was coming from. He knew that God would provide. Daniel was determined, or he purposed, to be devoted to principle and commitment of course of action. He knew what it would take to get where God wanted him, and he was committed to that course. He didn't go to the left or the right, but he stayed straight on. Now, we face many things in life. Along life's way as youth, are you committed to your course of action? Do you know the way you're taken? Will it take you to heaven or to hell? It's only two options, either one way or the other. There's no in-betweens. Daniel was purposed, and he was committed. When Daniel made up his mind not to defile himself, he was being true to a lifelong determination to do what was right before God. And he didn't give in to the pressures around him. I'm sure the pressure to give in was extremely high. You know, that pressure sometimes is what tips us over the barrel. It's what makes us go one way or the other. The pressures of life are extreme. And you will face that. You know, it's something we all face. And I wish at times we could just take a cage and put it around our youth so they don't have to face the pressures. But let's, instead of putting that cage around them, let's be there to support and encourage them. I wonder sometimes if the reasons our youth go off to the side, they can't handle the pressures because they don't have any support. Where's their foundation? Where's their support coming from? No, shame on us for not being there. But let's take courage as older people to stand there by our youth and help them through that difficult time. You know, you as youth, you have parents, you have church leaders, you have fellow church brethren and sisters that I'm sure they would all want to help you through. Maybe you have to do your part and just step out and say, hey, I need help. I'm facing this struggle. You know, and I don't want to lose the way. What way shall I take? They'll be there to walk with you, to help you. When you face that pressure, that you don't deviate away from what God has for you. No, we too, we're going to face pressure to compromise our standard, and we live more like the unbelieving world around us. We face the pressure of the things of the world. You know, it can be in our work habits. It can be in all kinds of habits we face. We all need vehicles, but how practical do we get? No, we all need clothes, but how practical do we get? No, we all need food. We all need drink. Do we have to have a certain thing? Do we give in to the pressures around us that the world is pushing towards us? Or can we stand for truth and right? Can we stand to make a difference, just like Daniel stood? Now, Daniel continued to honor and obey God in a culture that rejected his own God. He was willing to stand out. He was willing to be different. Now, let's speak boldly with those that put that pressure to us to get us to change. To get us to go towards the world. Let's speak boldly to them about Christ. And I think that would help us a lot if we're willing to speak when we face opposition instead of just quietly trying to evade it. But let's stand up and speak against it. You know, when we have friends, we need friends. Do our friends help us in our life? Do they help us draw closer to God? Do they help me live a victorious life? We need each other. Let's be an encouragement to each other. As youth, be a blessing to one another. Be there to help each other. Now, Daniel had resolved not to eat the king's food because it was forbidden by the Jewish law. It was forbidden from where he came from and maybe not where he was at. He could have done it. But yet, he was determined not to do it. Now, if he would have ate the king's food and drink, and took of his drink, that would have been the first step toward depending on his gifts and favors. Now, the king knew what to do. He knew what he was doing. He knew how to get these men to do what he wanted. Now, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And that is so true, over and over and over. It's just, yeah. Girls, the way to a man's heart, a boy's heart, is give him something good to eat, and he'll be happy. Men, let's be careful when we face that. That's a God-given thing, and it's nothing wrong with it if we keep it in check, keep it in control. For Daniel and his friends, keeping their own diet helped them retain their identity and belief as God's people. Although Daniel lived in a culture that did not honor God, he still obeyed God's law. Can you do what it takes to retain your identity and belief in God? Now, the king was doing all he could so they would forget where they came from. He wanted to change their names. He changed their names. He tried to change their diet, change their food, so they would totally forget where they came from. And that's just like the devil. He tries to bring all kinds of things to forget what God has done for us, so we focus on him instead of on God. But let's be faithful to God. Let's not forget those things. In James 4:17, it says, if you know to good, something about to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. So remember, if you know to do good, but don't do it, it is sin. Now, Daniel and his friends were slaves. They were pagan. They lived in a slave country. And then they had this powerful king over them that could have easily killed them for disobeying, for not eating the king's food and his drink. That was like a direct, so to speak, a slap in the king's face. Look, I don't want what you have. I want this. But yet it was right, and it was good for Daniel and his friends to do that. They didn't care. They're first and foremost. They were concerned about serving their living God. They were committed to God. Now, who is more powerful on the earth? The king, President Trump, or is it God? God is more powerful. Let's remember that. God will give you the power and the strength you need. Now, Daniel worked hard to respect the king and the land, but he was determined, ultimately, and loyal to the king of the universe. That's what his first and foremost commitment was. Now, standing for God's truth is easier if we understand what our loyalty to God entails, entails well before challenges arrive. It's going to be a lot easier to stand for you to stand for truth. If you're committed to God and if you understand God's will for you, and if you know what it takes to be loyal and committed to God before the challenges arise, if you're going to wait to come to God until you face challenges, it's not going to work. You're not going to make it. You need to be committed to God now before those times come. That way you have something to fall back to. That way you know God is there. Have that relationship with God daily. Be willing to do what it takes. Now, when you face temptations and challenges, go back to God. God is there to help you. God will give you the strength to overcome. Remember God's purpose for you and rely on His strength to say and do what is right. God will give you the strength to do what is right. Stand for God and trust Him to protect you, even in ways you may not be able to see. Now, God wants to make that cage around you. He wants to build that safety place for you to dwell in. Allow Him to do that. Allow God to be your protector, to be your help. You know, we need faith in God. If we don't do our part, God can't do His. But God wants to do His part, but we have to do ours. Be willing to put your faith in God. Prayerfully live out your convictions every day and trust God to help you. You know, the Babylonians, like I said earlier, were trying to change the thinking of these young men. They were trying to give them a Babylonian education. They were trying to change their names, what their parents had given them. They were trying to change their lifestyle. Without compromising, Daniel found a way to live for God, live by God's standards in a culture that did not honor God. With God's help, Daniel knew he needed God to stand, and he relied on God. He didn't compromise. He didn't give in. He could have so easily gave in, and probably nobody would have known, but he was willing to stand for truth and right. Trust God the next time you're in a tight spot or you feel tempted to compromise your faith. Now, as you put your confidence in God to help you, your faith will flourish, your courage will blossom, and you will become a faithful example as well. Maintain steadfast in your allegiance to God. God will give you the words to speak. He will help you. He will give you the skill and wisdom in knowing what to say. Pray for God's help. Maintain your integrity. Like Daniel, be prepared to speak wisely to those around you, wherever you go. Now, if God gave Daniel and his friends the ability to adapt and to learn from a culture in which they had placed them, which he had placed them, then he can do that for you as well. Now, God wants to help you adapt. He wants to help you in the culture wherever he calls you. You know, maybe it's called to some foreign mission. I personally feel that all youth should go some mission project somewhere before marriage. That's my opinion. And if someone differs, that's fine. I spent 3 years in Ukraine, several months in other places here and there. And one of the blessings of going on mission is where I found my wife. She was a Canadian, I was a Kentucky boy, never knew each other until we met there. But give it time, you know, if something like that does happen. Take your time in a relationship. Anyway, I think our youth need to learn there's more to life than money and work. And I see for us today, you know, we might not be facing physical persecution, but we're facing the persecution of money, a life of ease, technology. We have everything we want. And it's why should I quit my $30 an hour paying job to go teach school or to go work on a mission for $150 a month? Now, why would I do something like that? It might not make sense financially, but it will make sense spiritually. I remember when I went, that was my pay, $150 a month. Is what I started out with. That was in 05, not that long ago. But I look back in the years I spent in VS, I wouldn't trade it for thousands of dollars. It was well worth everything. And in that time, you're going to face pressure. You're going to face the opposition to stand. Are you going to be able to stand? There's many of them that I worked with that would leave the U.S. and come over, and you could tell they were committed to God, they were committed to their church. It didn't matter. Yeah, their parents were there, weren't there, other people weren't there, but they stayed steadfast. They didn't do a lot of changing. Now, that's a challenge we face. We go away from home, we want to get rid of things from home, but it's not going to happen that easy. Be committed. You're taking yourself with you. Remember that. And that's one of the challenges as you go. But go to serve. Go to be a blessing to others. Go to do what God would have you to do. Like Daniel, no, he went to a totally foreign land, didn't know anybody, but yet he purposed in his heart. Now, can you this morning purpose in your heart not to defile yourself regardless where you go? I'd like to look a little bit in chapter 2. We think of the interpretation of the dream that Daniel had here. Chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, "There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician, an astrologer, or Chaldeans. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king, except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh." You see here, these men realize that the only person that can show this dream is someone that is not in flesh. They knew it was only God. Now that's us sometimes. We face the opposition. Like, this is so unreal. So, no one could answer that. Well, that's because they did not have a relationship with God. They were at the end of themselves. But for Daniel and his friends, as we go down in verse 16, "And he answered and said unto Arioch, the king's captain, why is this decree so hastily from the king? And Arioch made the thing known unto Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known unto Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions." As we think here of the Chaldeans, these earthly men that were probably the ones that ate the steak and drank the wine and all the good food. Here they were faced with something. They had nowhere to go. And Daniel heard about it. Hey, you're going to get killed. Why? What's going on here? So he was willing to go to the king to see what was going on. Daniel was willing to step out. Instead of just being quiet, he stepped out in faith. He was willing to do what it took. Daniel allowed God to work through him. Daniel could tell what the king had dreamed, and he could also give the interpretation because God was working through him. Can others see God in your life? Do they know you as a child of God? Daily we face a lot of the impossible situations, and it leaves us hopeless. But as a child of God, where do we go? So youth, you face the things of life. It seems hopeless. There's nowhere to go. Where am I going to go? Why did I get myself into this? How am I going to get out of it? Don't go in deeper. It never pays. But be willing to go to God. God will give you the strength. God specializes in working through us to achieve the impossible. God, that's God's specialty. He wants to work through our lives. He specializes in working through us to achieve the impossible. Daniel was here at a crisis point. Imagine him going to see this powerful, temperamental king who just angrily ordered your death. Daniel didn't shrink back in fear, but he went on, confidently believing that God would help him. Again, here Daniel relied on his friends. Can your friends be the ones you can rely on to help you through the difficult times? Are they going to drag you down? Or are they going to help you? Like Daniel went to his three friends in their house, and he made it known. And they all would desire the mercies of God in heaven concerning this secret. They prayed out to God. They cried out to God, "God, show us." While they prayed, God revealed the dream. When you find yourself in a tight spot, what do you do? Prayer accomplishes more than panic ever can. Panic confirms your lack of trust. Prayer confirms hope in God. Let's not panic, but let's trust God to help us through these difficult times. Daniel put his trust in God, and God not only saved himself, Daniel, but also the three friends with him and all the others. Now, how often are we tempted, maybe? And I'm guessing Daniel was tempted as well. Well, here God revealed this thing. He could have ran to the king, and he said, look, this is your dream, and this is what's happening. Look, I was able to reveal this to you, and I was able to know, and I know what's going on. But after Daniel had asked God to reveal the dream, he saw a vision. Daniel's prayer was answered before rushing back to the king. What did Daniel do? Daniel took time to thank God and give him credit from whence all source of wisdom and power came from. He thanked God for answering that request. So don't forget to thank God for helping you through those difficult times. Through that time of panic or crisis, remember, always thank God first before you do anything. And that's a challenge I face even, is to remember to thank God daily, hourly, all the time. Anytime you face something, just a little temptation. It might be a temptation to run a stop sign because you're in a hurry. But as you stop, thank you, God, for reminding me to stop. It's for my safety. Or whatever it would be, just simple little things. Just remember to thank God always for your answered prayers. Now, how do we respond when our prayers are answered? How do you respond? With excitement, with surprise, with relief? When God answers your prayers, don't dash off in your excitement, forgetting to thank him and give him the credit for his answer. Match your persistence in prayer with gratitude when your request has been answered. Remember how hard you prayed for victory in time of temptation. God, take this thing away from me. Moral sin, whatever it is, thought life, remember to thank God for the victory as much as you did prayer to overcome the temptation. That will help tremendously. Now, as Daniel faced the king the first time, the second time it was a lot easier. He had a God standing behind him, and he could go to the king and tell him the interpretation of the dream. He could have used his own knowledge and his self-interest. He could have promoted himself. Instead, he selflessly thought of his friends and all others and the other advisors that had no hope, that said, there's no one that can even do this. That's who Daniel thought of. He didn't think about himself, but he thought of God and his other friends. Think of those that are impacted by your decision. You know, as youth, we often face the thing, well, it's just me. Why does it matter? It won't face anyone else. No one else sees it. Why would it affect someone else if I do this or that? But it's other people are watching a lot more than we think. Just remember, your decisions will impact someone. Have a heart tuned after God. Be willing to look to God, especially in times of stress or difficult times. Spend time in prayer, a lot of time in prayer. Don't make a hasty decision. Do like Daniel. He went, got his friends. Hey, I'm facing this here. Next time you as youth, you face something, go to each other and say, look, I'm facing this temptation, whatever it is. Will you pray for me? Maybe three or four of you get together and you earnestly pray. You're going to be surprised what that will do for you, for your friends, for as a group in a whole. The power of prayer. Never underestimate the power of prayer. You know, before Daniel went to the king, he acknowledged God. Be willing to acknowledge God that gave you the victory. It's not yourself, but it is only God that gives us the victory. You know, when we try to take the credit ourselves, or how strong we are, we're robbing God from his credit that is due to him. In verse 47 of chapter 2, we have what happened to Daniel because he made the dream known. The king answered and said unto Daniel, and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and Lord of kings, and the revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. You know, the king was brought back to God. He realized that it is because of God. It was not Daniel. It was because of God. And God worked through Daniel. So I challenge you this morning. If someone on the street is facing something, could they have confidence in coming to you and saying, look, I'm facing this problem. Will you help me? And if you help them through that, what will they see? Will they see you or will they see God? I trust each one of us. We want to need to pass that on to God. Let's give God the honor and the glory, recognition that is due to him. You know, if Daniel would have taken credit to himself, the king would have honored only Daniel. But because Daniel proclaimed God as a source of his wisdom, the king honored both. The king had to recognize that God was the revealer and the giver of this dream. Daniel put it right back in the king's lap. The king had to give God the recognition. Because Daniel said, it was God. It wasn't me. It was God. So let's be willing to stand so that people can give God the recognition and not we as ourselves. And go on to Daniel chapter 3. Look a little bit about this statue that the other three friends faced. As we think of friends, the importance of friends and what friends can do. You know, we think back over the couple of the first chapter 1, they face the unknown. And that's so often how it is with you as youth. You reach age 15 and 16, you face the unknown. All the way down to 21, 25, you know. Even as a 40-year-old, I still face the unknown. But how do we deal with that? I encourage you, go to God like Daniel did for the revealing of the dream. Daniel went to God, the source of power and strength. And then God could reveal the dream to him. And through that, they could face this next obstacle, the statue. If they would not have had a relationship with God, they would have not been able to face this statue. Now, this statue was roughly 9 feet wide and 90 feet tall. It was huge. In chapter 3, it talks a lot about that. I'm not going to read a whole lot there. Verses 4 through 8 talks about when all kinds of music was played, and that when they hear that, they're supposed to fall down and worship. Verse 6, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. Now when you hear all this noise and racket, fall down and worship this graven image which Nebuchadnezzar had set up. It was a golden image. It was something that was never like before. So what did these friends do? So what did it mean to each other? What do your friends mean to you? Friendship makes life enjoyable and difficult times bearable. Is that what your friends are to you? It makes life enjoyable and difficult times bearable. Now that's what true friends are. Regardless what we face, we're there for each other through the thick and the thin. It's not just when the going is good or it's my way, we're friends. Friendships are tested and strengthened by hardships. Do you realize that your friendships are tested and strengthened only as you face hardships and as you work together through hardships as friends, as a youth group? Be willing to work together. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego help us to think about the real meaning of friendship. As much as these meant to each other, they never allowed their friendship to usurp God's place in their lives, not even in the face of death. They shared a courageous act. Now, death was about to end their friendship, but yet they didn't compromise. They stood strong. We will not bow down and worship. We're not giving in. A small compromise could have allowed them to live and go on and enjoy each other's friendship and serving God, serving their people while in a foreign land. But they were wise enough to see that compromise would have poisoned the very conviction that bound them so closely. Each had a higher allegiance to God. Now they realized if they would have just bowed down a little bit, they could have maybe kept on spreading the good news or being a light and a witness. But I think if they would have bowed down that one time, that would have destroyed the witness of God in that area. Do you realize? Do we realize? Do I realize the decisions I make, the actions I do, how it affects the world around us? So they did not hesitate to place their lives in the hands of God. They were willing to do what it took. You know, the rest was victory because they stood. And they did not compromise the first time or the second time. But they stood strong. The rest was victory for them. They had won the battle. It wasn't easy. I'm sure it was hard to think of all the hundreds of people that knelt down. And here was these three men that stood up. I don't know if there was others. It doesn't say. But the focus is here on these three people. Now, when we leave God out of our most important relationships, we tend to expect the others to help us, our friends to help us in place of God, and it's not going to work. God must be number one and our friends number two. Our friends are helpful, but they cannot take the place of God. Leaving God out of our relationships indicates how unimportant God really is in your life. Your relationship with God should be important enough to touch your relationship with others as well, especially your close friends. You know, your friends need to know who your God is and what your God is. How committed are you? Verses 4 to 8 talk again about this big furnace and who they were supposed to, when they heard these noises, they were supposed to fall down and worship. You know, that temperature was unreal. It was extremely hot. And to think of that, you're going to be thrown in there if you don't bow down. Who of us would have been able to stand? Could I have stood the test? Knowing this hot flame was right there waiting if you don't bow down and worship. But I don't think these three friends saw the hot flame. I think they saw the hot flame of hell instead of that fiery furnace. They knew that fiery furnace was hell. But they took their stand. They were not afraid of it. Now the same men that Daniel saved from death are now turned against his three friends, maliciously tearing down Daniel's friends. Now even though they were targets of these men, the three friends didn't blame or become angry with them. They firmly trusted in God. You know, it's sad, but at times our friends are the ones that put us down. They turn around and stab us in our back. Now what do we do? Can we stand firm? Can we stand true to God? Can we show them love and care? And to keep pressing on, our loyalty to God will speak volumes. Verses 12 through 15 talk some more about the image and how big it was and what would happen if they don't fall down. You know, the king tried to get these three men to worship him. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. So who do you put? Or who do you go to? Or what do you go to in time of trouble? Is your faith so strong in God that regardless what you face, I know that God is going to be there. I know that God will give me the strength. I know that God will deliver me from this temptation. It takes a commitment and a dedication on your part to become victorious like that. Now, these men could have bowed down to the image, convincing themselves that God knew their hearts. Well, we'll just bow down, but we won't worship. Now, that is so often how we are. We look around, well, everyone else is doing it, so I'm going to do it as well. But in my heart, God, you know, I'm not worshiping this image. But what are you revealing to others? What are you telling others around you by kneeling down? But they had determined never to worship another god, and they courageously took their stand. Now, as a result, they were condemned and led away to be executed. Now, these three men didn't know what would happen, but they were committed to God, and they knew that God would care and provide for them. All they knew, they were not going to fall down and worship a false god. Now, are we ready to stand for God no matter what? No, when you're willing to stand for God, you're going to stand out. Sometimes you're going to be the sore thumb in a group, in a relationship. But remember, you're not a sore thumb. You're a blessing. You're a protection because you're standing out for truth and right, and you're helping the others. But so often we think if we stand out, you know, we take this stand, we're going to stand out. Then what are others going to say? What does it matter what others say? What matters is about God. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, he flew in a rage when he saw that these men were going to disobey his commandment. As a supreme ruler, he expected absolute obedience. His pride caused him to forget that there was another authority higher than his own. With his deluded thinking, his demands became unjust and his reactions extreme. He didn't, all of a sudden, he just lost his mind pretty much. Get rid of these men. Throw them in the furnace. Out of here. We don't need them. They're in the way. But these men showed him who God was. Now, these men were giving him another chance to prove God when they entered the furnace. I have 8 excuses here that these men could have came up with. to bow down to this image. We will not bow down. We will bow, but not actually worship the idol. Two, we won't become idol worshipers, but we will worship this image this one time and ask God for forgiveness. How often do you hear the phrase, it's easier to ask for permission or forgiveness than permission? It don't work that way in the Christian life. You do it one time, the second time is going to be a whole lot easier just to do it again. What about the idols that we have in our lives that take first place before God? Three, the king had absolute power and we must obey him and God will understand. It don't work that way. God doesn't understand that. God wants you to obey him, not President Trump. The king appointed us. We owe this to him. You know, we live in a land, yes, we are to respect our authorities and leaders as long as it's not against God. But when it goes against Bible truth and what God wants, then we have no right obeying our government. Five, this is a foreign land, so God will excuse us for following the customs of the land. Again, no one's here, our families aren't here, we're taken out of our home country, so what does it matter if we do this? Our ancestors set up idols in God's temple. This isn't half as bad. That was six. Number seven, we're not hurting anybody. Again, only thinking about myself. It's only about me. And we're not thinking about others that are watching. Eight, if we get ourselves killed and some pagans take our position, they won't help our people exile. You know, we're like, well, if I would bow down and worship, then at least we can help others become saved maybe. Or there will be at least some Christians around. But that is false. It's what the devil tries to get us to think. No, a lot of these excuses would sound sensible, but they are dangerous. Do you realize how dangerous they are to go down that line? No, to bow to the image would violate God's commandment. It would erase the testimony. It would also erase the men's testimony for God forever. How far-reaching do our decisions have? That testimony would have been gone forever. They could have never again pointed them to God because they would have fell down in worship. Never again could they talk about the power of their God above all other gods. Now, what excuse do you use for not standing for him? Well, these three men chose to be faithful regardless what. Think a little bit about the fire in the furnace. It was extremely hot, but yet it didn't burn these men because God was with them. God was there with them through the trial, through the temptation. That's how God is for us today. He will never leave you nor forsake you if you have a relationship with him and you're committed to him. Now, the only thing that burnt was that rope that bound them. Quote, nothing can bind us if God wants us to be free. God wants to free you from the rope of Satan. That rope that had bound those men's hand was from Satan. Nebuchadnezzar thought he had to bind these men so they couldn't leave. But why? He had seen the power of God working right on through. You think he thought, well, these men are going to get out. God's going to intervene? Or did he think this was the end? That rope was from Satan. Allow God to loose that rope from you, whatever it may be. Get rid of it. God wants to set you free, and only God can do that as you come to him. Now, things we can learn from Daniel and his three friends. Although they were young when deported, they remained true to their faith. They had strong faith in God, men of prayer multiple times a day, deep, strong convictions in God, stood together refusing to eat from the king's table, shared a friendship that stood the test of hardship, success, wealth, and possible death, unwilling to compromise their convictions, even in the face of death. Those who stood by their convictions often earn deep respect. Don't wait until you are in a tough situation to learn about prayer. God can use people wherever they are. There is great strength in real relationships. It is important to stand with others we share convictions with. God can be trusted even when we can't predict the future. I'd like to read a couple of verses in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, verses 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So dear fellow youth, be strong in God and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, not just one piece, two pieces, but the whole armor. Do you realize that that is where your power is putting on the whole armor of God and being strong in the Lord and in his power. In 1 John chapter 4, sorry, 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. But the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Do you get the picture? If you want to be strong and faithful to the end, you must abide in the word of God. Don't love the things of the world. Get rid of them. They're going to take you down. That is all of the world. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. If you want to abide forever, you want to be strong, do the will of God. And in James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. James 4, 6 through 10. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Draw nigh to God, submit to him, humble yourself, resist the devil, cleanse your hands, purify your hearts, and God will lift you up and give you the strength. Let's kneel for prayer.